Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
New rules out today clear the way for commercial drone use in the United States. The Federal Aviation Administration says drones can't fly higher than 400 feet, they can't go faster than 100 miles an hour, and they can't carry a combined load that's more than 55 pounds. You have to be at least 16 years old to fly a commercial drone, and you have to pass a test and get a license. More than 3,300 people have already signed up to take that test, which is available starting today. I spoke with FAA Administrator Michael Huerta about the agency's plans for commercial drones back in March, and I asked him, of all the issues the FAA has to worry about, how important are drones?
It's incredibly important. This is the fastest growing segment in aviation, and it is also something that's bringing a whole host of new users into our aviation system. These are not the traditional pilots or air traffic controllers that we deal with. These are hobbyists, these are photographers, real estate brokers, and so it's a big challenge to integrate and work with this community to make sure that we're all operating safely.
Did it surprise you that drones became so popular among the American public?
This is something that we have been looking at for a while, but I think that all of us have been surprised at how they've really captured the public imagination. You know, when you think about it, this is a technology that is evolving so quickly, and even from where we sit today, we can't fully imagine all the possible uses that unmanned aircraft will be put to in the future. It's an incredibly innovative technology, but it raises very serious questions of how do we incorporate them into what is increasingly a crowded sky and make sure that we're doing it in a safe manner.
Well, looking back, do you wish that the FAA had started requiring people to register their drones before this year? Because they've been around for years now.
They have been around for a while, but I think that one of the things that we've been very focused on is trying a whole lot of different things to try to accommodate and respond to the technology. The thing that really got our attention was the projected sales that were expected before we went into the holiday season. And we thought that this represented two things. The first was it represented a big challenge of how do we educate all of these people about what the rules of the air are. But the second thing was, hey, this is a great opportunity to reach out to this whole new segment. And we were able, in a matter of a couple of months, to put together a registration protocol and program. And as of today, we have over 385,000 people registered with their unmanned aircraft.
What are the rules of the air at this point?
Well, the key thing when you're operating in the air is a principle called sense and avoid or detect and avoid. And so, you know, essentially what we want these operators to understand is where are airports and how to avoid them, how they can ensure that they're not coming into conflict with other aircraft that are out there. And we're advising them to stay out of controlled airspace, stay below altitudes where they could come into conflict with commercial or general aviation aircraft.
What would happen if a drone were to hit an aircraft? Because if you think about it, an airplane, I mean, especially if it's a big commercial airplane, is a huge, you know, thing compared to this tiny little drone that probably weighs a couple of pounds. Would the airplane be harmed by being hit by a drone?
Well, the first thing is there are many, many different kinds of drones. You're right that some of those are under a half pound, and they would likely be blown out of the way by a large commercial aircraft that's coming in the vicinity. But there are unmanned aircraft that are very high performance. Some are as large with the wingspan of a 737. And they could bump into another aircraft, they could get sucked into an engine, and those are the things that we don't want to have happen.
And when you receive reports of 100 a month of aircraft pilots who say they're spotting drones flying near them, it sounds like something's going wrong here.
Well, a big part of that is education. We're doing three things to try to address that. The first is educating people of where the airports are in the first place. We've developed a smartphone app that you're able to turn on. It's called Before You Fly. You can download it from the Apple App Store. And you turn on your phone and it tells you, based on right where you're standing, are there any flight restrictions in place? The second thing is, you know, unfortunately, there will always be some small number of people that will be interested in perhaps causing a problem or doing something that is not safe flying. And so that's where our enforcement responsibilities come in.
And who does that enforcement?
We do that cooperatively with local law enforcement. We have the ability to issue civil penalties on our own. There are criminal penalties associated with interfering with commercial aviation.
Is there a penalty right now for not registering your drone?
There are penalties in place if you don't register, because there is a requirement to register. But we're very focused on educating people of the requirement at this point.
Aside from the legality, what do you say to the criticism that these rules are just overly complicated in terms of where you can fly, how high, having the rules change based on size, that pretty soon people may need to take lessons and maybe get a license?
I don't think that they're overly complicated. You know, for a small recreational users, it's basically a handful of things that we're asking you to do. Stay away from an airport, stay below 400 feet, maintain line of sight, and don't do anything stupid. Now, if you want to do high-performance commercial activities, yes, it's a little more complicated, but we have many tracks that we're operating on right now. We have a rulemaking that's underway that we want to complete this spring that will lay out for a very large class of users what the regulatory requirements and framework are for you to operate. And what they're going to find is it's nowhere near as complicated as doing it with regular aircraft.
Do you think that somebody should need a license, though, for any size of drone at this point?
For commercial activities, I think it is important that they have a commercial certificate of some sort. Now, we are not saying that that is the same thing as a pilot's license, because you don't need to know the principles of how to fly an airplane. That's not what you're flying. But you do need to understand how you interact with other aircraft and what the rules of the air are. And so what we're trying to do is come up with what are the actual requirements that somebody has to have in order to, you know, operate unmanned aircraft for commercial purposes.
So as we've been talking, what I hear from you is that your main concern is safety.
Mm-hmm.
What about privacy? Does that come into what you think about when it comes to regulating drones? Because at this point, I guess somebody could probably, you know, launch a drone in their backyard, go fly over to the neighbor's house and put it right outside the window.
Yeah, the FAA's responsibility is safety. We don't regulate anything that flies in our airspace for its use. We regulate it only for its safety.
Does anyone at this point?
But the question you're raising about privacy is an important question for us as a government, as a society. And that is something that our partners in government are actively looking at. President Obama asked the U.S. Department of Commerce through the National Telecommunications and Information Agency to lead an effort to really assess this question of, do we have the appropriate controls in place? Is the current legal framework sufficient to ensure that a citizen's right to privacy is being adequately protected? And we're actively participating as part of that.
Administrator Huerta, if somebody came out and said, we should just ban all drones, that nobody needs a drone, why do we allow drones? What would you say to that person?
If we had that point of view of just banning evolution of new technology, I think that we as a society would be nowhere near where we are today. You know, think about it. Aviation is over 100 years old. Today, it represents 5% of our gross domestic product, and it employs 12 million Americans. It is our largest export industry, and it is really the foundation for lots of technology all across our economy. So what we have is a history of seeing something new and innovative being developed, and we collectively, as an industry, working collaboratively, government and the private sector, we've been able to come up with regulatory standards, all designed to ensure safety, but at the same time to leverage the benefits of technology. And I don't see this one as any different from that.
Do you own a drone?
I do not own a drone. I have registered, though, so I'm one of those that's below one in terms of ownership. I'm still shopping around. I haven't quite found the exact fit of what I would like to see and my budget. But when I get one, it'll be used recreationally for photography. I love taking pictures.
That's FAA Administrator Michael Huerta. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we spoke back in March. Huerta said today there could be as many as 600,000 commercial drones in use within the year. We will post the new rules that are out today from the FAA at hereandnow.org.